Bao 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 bao. I fucking pressed rewind or something there.
Remix.
Welcome back to the Blackout Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, DJ Jake.
DJ Jakey Keen in the building.
Yazzy Jake.
Dude, how's it going?
Amazing. Beyond amazing. Really good, man.
Your really creative good. Output at the minute is unparalleled. I've never seen someone on such a tier creatively as such as yourself, mate.
I'm what on is happening? Steroids.
Yeah. If you haven't already, guys, go and check out jakekeen.com and check out the stuff you're putting out on Patreon things. Oh, my Lord. It's mind-boggling. And we got some exciting stuff to talk about to you today. About some physical things you can get your grubby little mitts on. But should we get to that a bit later and just dive straight into the juice of the podcast?
Yeah, you don't want to open things up by shilling, do you?
I know, exactly. I don't want to shill to y'all, but I can see you're in a creative zone. I can tell you're in a creative zone. I kind of am too. And this is what, if you're a first-time listener, every week we don't say, ask how we're doing. Oh, by the way, how are you, Jake? You all right, man? Got to ask that. You doing good? We don't spend time talking about our week. We just dive straight into but we just create magic ideas, and sometimes mostly we'll come up with a brand new trick by the end of the episode, and if not, something that we'll be able to work on in the future. But do listen up to the end, because if you're interested, if you like our style, and because Blackpool's coming, we do have some Blackpool exclusive new releases, so if you're into that, then stick around till the end, but you don't need to. With all that being said and done, Jake, what has been on your mind creatively this week?
Everything at once. For the past few weeks, the past few months, I've been writing down as much as possible, writing down old ideas that I had that I've never committed to paper, writing down stuff that I want to carry on working on, or just finishing off things that I didn't have a kicker for 3 years ago. And I'm slowly looking at this catalogue that I've got and realising, man, I probably should have shared some of this stuff the past 20 years, because there's a fucking lot.
But do you think that sometimes you need to have a few years time in between finishing? Like you said, you're missing the kicker ending to it. You need to have a few years time before it actually clicks into place.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think you'll probably agree with this, that there is a difference. There's a divide in certain material. Sometimes you come up with something that is more of a principle or a tool for someone to play with. And that's kind of okay to just get that out there and be like, do with it what you will. You have a YouTube channel where very often, you know, some of the things you will create just on the fly, almost pretty impromptu. Like, I've came up with this idea very recently. Here it is. And it's a tool to play with.
I my favorite thing in the fucking world is when I pick up a magic release, and or I learn something from a magician, and it's the principle. Like, in fact, I almost prefer that 99 times out of 100, where I'll learn, just like the core principle behind the deceptive element of it. And then I can make it my own. I always think about like the John Bannon books, right? He has some great books, and some principles of their own. Some of them are two principles created by other people that he combines together. He's very good at combining like card mentalism principles. The reason I love his book so much is not because of the effects. In fact, almost every effect that I've learned from John Bannon, I disregard the trick he does with them, and I just use the principle. That's sometimes the goal. And I'd love to actually read a book of just principles.
It's probably out there, but I'm very similar. I think he has a style that's very much his own, and I think the two or three things of his that I perform are maybe a different presentation or just using certain elements of it. But I could say that for everyone, to be honest. I'm very much a bit of a cannibalizer when it comes to magic tricks, and prefer doing them my own way.
I think that, like, I've seen some discussion recently somewhere. I heard or read some discussion about magicians that are carbon copies. And this, the thing is, it's kind of important to emulate when you begin. When you begin in magic, it's important to find out who you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and then from there, make it your own. But the more you can, this is why I think principles are interesting, not just because you can, principles allow you to do like math principles, for example, or, you know, yeah, well, you know, a lot of things. I don't know, the things like the 100th monkey principles like that. They're great because when you strip them down to the core element, if there's no extra routine, trick or personality added, the only thing you can do is add yourself to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's a very necessary step when people first start creating, because we've spoke about it a few times in the past where it is almost like a muscle that you need to train and you need to practice it. You need to play with it, play with it every day. You won't go blind.
Play with that muscle, boy.
and people's very first creations, I've spoken about it a lot. When I was a teenager, I would think I was hot shit because I combined a bent coin with a card peek, and it's like, no, it's two separate things. You're just putting them together, but that's, it's a necessary step.
Yeah, exactly. And going back to the original point of then reviewing stuff from years previous, then you can see how you can improve it or take the experience and the knowledge from there.
Yeah.
Then see what you got. So what sort of stuff have you looked at?
The stuff that I've been revisiting lately.
Yeah.
Some of the really weird stuff, the stuff to do with suggestion and influence and light hypnosis, some stuff that is the most basic card trick you can ever perform, but I've disguised it in such a way that it looks nothing like a card trick and doesn't, the cards barely play into it. That's what that Psy Burglar is that I told you about, and I think you had a little look at the artwork.
Wait, that's a card principle. A card trick, sorry.
Kind of, yeah.
What?
Yeah, but it the trick isn't anything to do with the card in a way. It's weird. I'll explain it to you properly.
Explain it to you properly.
Next week. but some of these ideas are just the small little tidbits. They're just, it is just a principle that's done very differently, and reapproaching them later on in life or even just a few months down the line is so exciting. And you think, why did I ever shove this to the side? The annoying thing is when you come across a note and you're like, I remember that this was really good and there's not enough for me to go on. There's a routine that I had that was to do with a crib and pseudo hypnosis, and I just have like a little title and a tiny synopsis, and I can't remember the method or the effect, and I've been clawing my brain out trying to remember it.
Oh, I hate it when you do that. You give yourself a little quick note before you forget what it is, and then you try and decipher it years later. But it's, what's interesting is, go back to that. There's a on my Patreon, there's a triumph that I do. And I call it the real triumph because literally the cards literally get mixed face up and face down, but it's done by the spectators. Like, they actually riffle shuffle the cards face up into face down in the hands.
My favorite and, triumph.
Thanks, man. And yeah, and then the cards are literally with no moves and mixed. But that effect started off, what I had was the principle.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the principle is buried in Marlowe. Joe Barry actually told me this in a session convention about whenever it first moved to Heathrow, so maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the principle, even though it was an old thing, but I had the principle, but the trick was so lacking in some area. And since then, I've seen a couple of other magicians play with the same principle and use it in triumphs, and they all fall victim to the same thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of left it because everyone was saying, oh, Lloyd, like, share this as a download, put it out, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't. And I sat on it for years, and I just kept, like, every now and then I would bring it out. I'd like bust it out to fool a magician, or I'd do something. And then I can't remember why, and it might have been, I can't remember what it was, but something made me go, oh, in my head, I kind of knew that my style of magic had evolved. You know how, like, every year or so, your magic sort of style changes a little bit?
Yeah.
And I kind of knew that the direction I was going and give me like a new tool set, or at least give me like a new and unlocked some new tools because of the new direction I was taking. And I thought I made a conscious effort to reevaluate that effect, that triumph. And when I did, the final piece clicked. And it was like, oh, right, this is what is missing. It's got to be done in the spectator's hands. Because anyone that's on the Patreon knows what it is. But if you see it done, if you see the other magicians trying to disguise the principle in other effects, they all miss doing it in this participant's hands. And it never really reaches like nirvana for me, you know? But when you do it in the participant's hands, it becomes unfathomable. And that's what it was. I just needed to reevaluate it, you know, years and years later. And I think, yeah, if anyone can do that for anything they've been looking at, they know they have something good, but they can't make it great, you know?
It's creativity is such a weird one, especially if you know when you've seen people yourself presumably working in the position that you work in, when someone does have a good idea and it is their first time maybe sharing it with other people, and they are so focused and zoned in on it that they have spent a year or two talking about this one effect. And it might just not be the time for that effect. It might need another few years. You do have to put some things in the drawer sometimes. It's just
They
not
just
the
need to
right time.
simmer for a while.
And I mean, that also comes with just the industry itself. Sometimes there's a right time to make a release, and sometimes maybe one or two other effects are coming out with other companies that look a bit too similar. So, come back in a year. But also
Yeah, I mean,
creatively, you need to as well.
100%. I mean, the easiest way to digest that in terms of the industry is like if you've got like a really good Rubik's Cube trick, then it's probably not good to bring it out when Rubik's Cubes were at the height of fashion in magic. You know, you think I'll give it a year or two, or like I always like there was remember that whole period of time where everyone was doing tricks with gum. I think it was inspired mainly from Kayla Morelli. And now you could imagine how cringe it would be to do gum tricks. It'd be like wearing, I don't know, it'd be like wearing oh, it's probably back in fashion now, but a Alessi clothing from the 90s. But I think in like another year or two, you know, that trend will come back around in some capacity and it'd be the right time for certain stuff.
There's been a few recent ones that have been okay. What's her name? Amanda Nepo last year had one.
What was oh yeah, I do remember that. Kind of, I not. I think I might have watched the trailer with Craig on a magic podcast. But yeah, you were just saying like there's sometimes you just know that like not in meaning like a egotistical way, but like the magic world isn't. It's not ready or it's not ripe for the effect to come out yet.
And sometimes you want someone to take the kind of first step with something as well. You see it all the time in the tech industry. It's the second major company that succeeds. MySpace comes so that Facebook can take over. Like sometimes you want someone to break the market so that you can come in and reap the rewards.
You know, that's really, really true because sometimes it takes someone to like set the trend off of a trick or an effect, like or a premise. Like for example, I think for example, like Akan is a prime one because it was created by David Burke. So it's a fairly recent card plot, but I do think the superior versions were created after Burke passed, although decades apart. And like coin and can or coin and actually that's actually the anomaly of the examples because that one really is the best version by Sinful by Wayne Houchin. Nothing has really been better than that. But coin and bottle, yeah, there was a few naff ones and then some really good ones and then they all sort of drifted off from there.
Coin and can is something that I've always wanted to contribute to. I've seen one or two downloads that were okay, but just didn't do it as well still.
There was like a, I always, you remember that film by Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny? I always feel like, you know, like when every now and then someone will get the pick of destiny, and then they can create like perfect music, but only for a brief period of time. Not that Wayne Houchin stuff is not perfect, but like that trick was just pure gold. Like everything about it was perfect. It was impromptu, it was visual, it was impossible, everything made sense, it was practical. It was just like the ultimate perfect trick. And yeah, it was like the breakthrough by Johannes Mengel and all the Mengel brothers, which was good, but it didn't have that X factor to it, did it?
Yeah, you
Still
know,
a good trick.
with Sinful as well, it's one of the few tricks where when you nail it, when you get the handling down, it like that feels good to perform. The movements feel it feels like natural. Every part.
Yeah. Yeah, it was perfectly constructed.
Even down to the release was good, like the presentation. Do you remember the DVD and stuff with what's his face?
What, Dana Hawken?
I can't remember. But it was just, that was a perfect like storm of a release.
Yeah. I'd say about Coin and Can that you want to do your own version. Let's talk Coin and Can. This is a random episode, but let's talk about like how would you reapproach it in the year 2024? Or Coin and Bottle. Coin and Bottle is a bit of a, I don't know why, but they definitely feel massively different.
Yeah.
I suppose because you can see the coin in the bottle. If you break it down to its core elements, right? Like the differences with the coin and the can, you only need to make, in theory, the coin vanish.
Okay, cool. This will be a cool one to discuss because we have to be very careful about avoiding any other methods that we know about, just so we don't tip anyone else's creations.
Yeah, okay, we can do that. We can do that. I'll leave you edit it out afterwards if we do. We can go through the trauma of listening back to our drivel.
Oh, God, okay, no.
Every coin and can, I think we should throw coin and bottle into the mix as well.
Yeah.
But there's a difference in them. They're always mostly so linear.
Mm-hmm.
Or object. I think my favorite ever object in bottle, or can, but object in bottle, is Derek Delgadio's version. Have you seen that? I was so fortunate enough to see it live. It's he puts a paper boat inside a bottle.
And he
uses the label to do it. It is the most perfectly logical, illogical illusion, right? You take the label, so that's already pre-existing on there. You fold it up into a boat, like a ship in a bottle. And he uses a light and a shadow to create a ship in a bottle. And then he puts the folded origami ship into the bottle. And it floats. And because there's water, everything is perfect. I love that approach to it, though. Because it sort of followed from a story. The story made sense. The objects made sense and they went in. So maybe this could not be about reapproaching specifically the coin in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a different object that would kind of work for something being encased in glass, if we look at it that way, or something being encased in metal, could it be a metaphor for something else? A representation of something else?
Every kind of TV special or every... Well, a lot of mainstream creators have some kind of creation that follows this path. It is intriguing for a reason, right? And it's because it seems physically impossible. Regardless of where you are in the world, that image is impossible. The phone shouldn't be in the bottle. That card shouldn't be in the bottle. It was in the deck. It's gorgeous. Even I think maybe because it just came at a very like the right time in my life. I've always loved Laura London's card to bottle.
Do you know what? It was what I liked about that is that it's a fucking worker. Like you can actually go out and do it, and it's a signed card in bottle. Danny Daughters also has some great card in water bottle stuff, which kind of relies on misdirection heavily, but it works. He performed it to me in Vegas at a fucking subway table, and just twatted me with it. When I first seen it. Do you know what I do like? I've always loved, and I've got a few different methods for different effects versions of this, mentalist version of this, but finding a message in a bottle.
Yeah.
Because they wash up on the shore, and you can tell a good tale to that.
Yeah, but we did a whole episode about it.
We did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Okay, you're right. But instead of it being a mentalist effect, you could turn it into a visual piece. And there's some great things that can open up from there. For example, right, so I'm just like going with it now. Okay. But a very, very basic bitch way of doing this, but to make it cool, would be to have the message in the bottle rolled up in a scroll, or not. And I'll give you a cool method here. And I think I might discuss this in that old podcast episode. But If the so imagine you use a dark green ball, okay? And inside it, you don't roll up the message, but you write it on a piece of paper that fits inside. And then on top of that, you put black flash paper. And you so it's kind of pinned to the side. So if you're wearing a black top, you hold a green ball, the glass on the front will obscure the fact that you can't see all the way through and the black art. So it's basically black art with black flash paper. And so in practice, when you drop a lit match into the neck of the bottle, the black flash paper will burn away and reveal the message on the outside, right? So if you could talk about, I don't know, there's got to be some cool story about fire transferring something like a smoke signal, right? Combined with a message in a bottle. So you have one written note on the outside. Oh, this is what you could do. So you say, I've got a message to go in a bottle here. Who is it to? And so maybe it says for me, Dear Kaylee. So you write, Dear Kaylee. Maybe the message is written already, but you say, we don't know who it's going to be sent to. So who give me a name. So I would write, Dear Kaylee. So I fill in the spot. You're going to see why I'm doing this sort of setup. And now I say, look, we're going to send this as a message in a bottle, or another way we could do it is through a smoke signal. You're going to light this match, drop it in the bottle. Okay, it's not going to burn. You can hold the bottle. And I'm going to light the paper and watch what happens. One, two, three. The paper on the outside lights and it bursts into flames. As they drop the match into the bottle, it visually appears inside with the name Dear Kaylee written on the rest of the note, written on the note.
Love it.
That could be such a fucking dope effect.
It really could, dude. It really could. You,
You
oh.
may need to put a small hole in the base of the bottle to let the air flow through for the
Yeah.
black flash light and that just on that
Yeah.
match coming out.
I've just, this is probably dumb, right? But you can tell me if it's dumb. So picture the scene. I've traveled down to Paul Cole. We're going for a romantic walk on the beach. And I pick up a random bottle that's in the sand. And I'm like, these bastard litterers down here in South Wales. Let's go put this in the bin, Lloyd. But then I show you the bottle and it's got a load of sand in the bottom. And I tell you some kind of a story and then shake it. And then all of a sudden, there's just a roll of parchment in the bottle.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be your reaction, like the kid from David Blaine. You just look at me and go, "Cool."
Cool. Cool.
So,
Cool.
obviously, if you have this thin layer of sand underneath a bottle, you know the what's the snap metal stuff?
Oh, a wiregram. Like it's called I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, well, whatever, a bendy metal that would snap to straight. And you have it curved around the
Oh, you
inside.
mean like the wrist snappers. You snap a what, like a little wristband on.
I was thinking similar to that originally, but actually just any kind of metal that would bend from that would go from bent to straight once it had room.
Okay. Okay, yeah,
Because
like memory metal then, I suppose.
if you just have a parchment wrapped around, say, this thin metal pole, and then it's twisted into a curve and bent around the bottom of the glass underneath some sand. So when you shake it, the pole
It'll go
straightens out,
boing.
boing, and it looks like it just appears from nowhere. That'd be fun.
Oh, that's fucking cool. I think you can actually do that with a straw as well. If you take a straw and you cut it all the way down the middle, the lengthways, you can actually roll, you can sort of flatten it a little bit, open it out, and then roll it. And you can wedge that into stuff. And then if it's just dislodged, it'll ping into its original shape. So I'm guessing you could do that with metal. Or like you said, like a you could even have a spring, an actual spring, and wrap it in the paper, or what looks like maybe you can use Tyvek paper, and then wedge that so it coils around the base of the bottle, cover that in sand. Then when you shake it, it'll spring into its straight shape and fill the. What's interesting about that is that the diameter or the circumference around a bottle is deceptive in its length, right? Because it'll actually be like almost like the length of the whole bottle it would fill, even with the coil. Even mind you, it could actually coil around a few times, even if it didn't. That's cool. There's something there with that
And
because you could have a roll of flash. Sorry, you could get the parchment on the outside. You could hold it against the bottle if it was flash paper, light the flash paper, and then now it's inside as well.
And if you're, you know, if you're jerking the bottle up and then down to get that dislodged,
like
dislodge that piece, you know, the sand's coming up, it's kind of obscured a little bit. That would just look like it had appeared in that bottle right there and then. That'd be fun.
Yeah, this is cool.
They're both cool ideas, man. I really like that, the flash paper stuff. It's, we spoke about it a little last episode as well, didn't we? Flash paper on the outside of a Coke bottle.
Yeah, that's true. I do love object in bottle. All right. So there was another trick years ago, and I seen Ryan Tricks doing it downstairs in the Ruskin, I think. And it was created by... who was it? I want to say the guy's name was like Wiz something. But basically, it was... I mean, this isn't the spoil of the method, because the method is what it is. He had a like a letterbox hole cut out in the glass on its side, just the width of just the size of a pound coin, and but then put the label back on the glass bottle. You take a coin and you just slowly push it through the label, and you can show it half in, half out, and then boom, it goes through. But then, of course, the label is still it's still the effect was the label still had a hole in it, and you can it's almost like you created a hole as opposed to teleporting an object inside.
Yeah. Go on.
I mean, from that, you could have. There's a great effect. Actually, I think Dynamo just featured on his Instagram by Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the one. Yeah. And he used the flap on the label to cover up the hole. So you could do that and then have the hole heal so they couldn't see it.
That was actually a pretty cool video because he did use everything was super contextual and he did a few effects in that, didn't he?
Yeah. But I like more the direction of going in like the opposite, not the opposite, but it's been explored to death. And I'm sure there's going to be new exciting ways to do coin in can slash coin, ball. But when it's got more of like a performance piece, like, you know, is it going to be like a sugar cube? Or one of the interesting things I've seen recently was my wife's grandmother. She's 100 years old. She turned 100 in November. Is it November? November. But she's moving into a care home now because she's 100. She's lived till she was 100 years old on her own. That's fucking astounding.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the things. But they're cleaning out her house. They're making space for other things. But one of the things, Kaylee's dad brought her back from Iran a desert rose. Have you ever heard of what a real desert rose is?
I don't think so, no.
It's a piece, I might get this wrong, but it's a piece of sand from the desert, and the wind hits it and it rushes around it for hundreds of years maybe, and it hardens, and it actually, I'm going to pull up a photo on my phone if I can, and it looks like a little rose, but it's made out of sand.
Ooh,
kind of like it's almost like a pearl in a way.
So
here we go. Let me show you. I'll put my camera on a minute. So they can look kind of like this. They're all different shapes and stuff, but...
Oh.
They're cool. They look a bit like coral, but they're called desert roses, and you can get them like nut shapes and stuff. But going on about sand in a bottle, you know, could you have... Imagine it's not an object in bottle per se, but you take sand, you pour it in a bottle... Imagine swirling the bottle around and eventually it starts to harden and then you hear and it becomes a desert rose inside there.
Oh. And dude, you know, you could very easily just make a prop that was like a desert rose to be found. Whether or not that's like a plastic rose that you just cover in spray glue and then cover with sand.
Oh, yeah. And then what could you do to the... It's got to be some cool ways. I wonder if you gimmick the bottle in such a way that it's like one of those vanishing milk pitchers, but instead of that milk, it's sand. So as you swirl it, it just reduces down to it's just like an inch of sand instead of like 5 inches of sand in the bottle.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? So it fills around the edges, and as you shake, it just comes out on the edges, and it just reduces down and down and down and down.
If something like that could be cool if you had like a... Yeah, like you say, like the milk thing. I'm trying to think of a way you could make that practically without having to commission some insane bottle.
I know. Sankey had a great thing years ago where he just took ice and did ice cube in bottle.
That's fun.
In a plastic bottle. Which makes complete sense, doesn't it? Because you ice and bottles and water and drinks, it all sort of goes together. And I just thought that was such a novel way to do it. I also like cap in bottle effects.
Yeah.
They make a lot of sense too. But what can you do to spice it up a bit? Like going off that like Derek Delgado hinge of taking a few organic parts of the bottle. There's the obviously
Yeah.
the label. There's the Kayla Morelli had a great one with the ring, the neck of the bottle, you know, the little ring that connects to the cap.
Yeah.
And it was an impromptu one where you'd put that in the bottle.
Oh.
Okay, let's fuck off from bottles for a second and go on to cans.
Okay. Go on to cans.
Talk to me.
I'm talking to you. What is visually interesting about a can?
What can it also be a metaphor for? Submarine?
Oh God, I don't want to do some Ocean Gate analogy trick.
I was working, oh God, fucking hell, yeah. I was working on a TV show years ago, 10 years ago, I want to say. And one of the effects I came up with was, you know, remember those miniature Coke cans?
Yeah.
You could buy in Woolworths. It was a miniature Coke can in can. So you had the miniature Coke can on the palm of your hand and the big Coke can, and you went slammed one into the other. I think it was slow motion. And you can imagine the method. It was for TV, so it could be a lot more open source with the method. But I just like the idea of that being inside it. Almost like Russian dolls.
Yeah. You could definitely do something where it was a full can of Coke that you then pull apart and it's two little ones very easily.
Yeah. I wonder if you could imagine you took a can of Coke and I'm just thinking of this cool visual, but you held it with your thumb at the base, your middle finger at the top, so you're holding it upright, and then you shake it and suddenly it just becomes all aluminium and there's no ring pull, there's no art or anything, and it turns out it's completely inverted itself. So when you break it open, now you can see all the print is on the inside and the ring pull's inverted and it's inside as well.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
And if you were to make those, the marks that you would get from doing that would just look like the inside of a can anyway, probably.
Oh, yeah. Imagine, yeah. I didn't even think about making them. I was just thinking of the concept. But imagine you could just buy inside out cans.
God. I thought you were going to say just literally a full metal block.
Oh, that's fucking interesting, Jake. You take a can, you open it. Does that sound real?
Yeah.
Pour it out, and then you put it down, and yeah, you just and then imagine it was just fucking solid metal. It was heavy as shit.
Yeah, you just you peel away at something, and then the cover just comes off and it's just a solid silver piece of metal.
Or wouldn't it be better if it was wood? Because wood sort of implies that it's nothing to do with the aluminium then.
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
You pour a whole can of drink out and then place it down. And then, yeah, you just peel off like a sticker and it turns out it's a Coca-Cola sticker. The top of it is just like foil. You know, just crumple it up. And then it's just a lump of wood.
You know where you'd do the switch? Where I would do the switch is you've just poured the drink out. This is assuming that it isn't, say, a method of the drink to come out of a can that's already switched. This is assuming that it is actually a can that is then switched. I'd talk about, isn't it weird? It's just a shared memory that all of us know someone and would get really annoyed at them at parties because they'd spend the whole like 10 minutes taking the tab off their can and putting it into their drink. And then the switch happens when you're showing them the tab or something. So, and you say putting it into their drink and it just bounces off. And you're like, because it's all just wood.
What if you took the ring pull with the hole that it's created when it's been popped open and you move it to like the side of the can? And now the ring pull and the hole are on the side of the can and the top is completely solid.
Yeah. That would be very visually cool. Is oh. I'm looking at different cans now because you know every now and again you someone will discover something and it's just an oddity that naturally occurs. Not naturally occurs, but it's just a thing. You know that like the way with the expiration dates on crisps, that's just a thing that you can use to your advantage.
Yeah.
And there's got to be something about a can where it's just like visually there's something about them. And I know that there is a coining can that uses certain cans because there's a certain quirk to do with the width of the interior rim. It's stuff like that.
Want to know something really cool? I've sat on this for eight. Oh.
Don't give it away if
No,
you want to.
yeah, no, I was going to say, I think I'm going to write it up. In that thing I was telling you about.
Okay, yeah.
Me and Jacob are in a real zone for writing books at the
Dude,
minute.
the past what, 2 or 3 months, I think I've put out about 6 ebooks and one larger book with actually 2 larger books. Yeah, there's a lot of publishing going on right now.
What's interesting about publishing, and I was just saying this to Craig, is that, like, especially at the moment, there's such a discourse about not owning anything you buy because of these subscription streaming services everywhere.
Yeah.
And I know I say this with a Patreon, but that's more just because I can share stuff quickly and accessibly
Yeah.
that I don't particularly want to share on YouTube. But there is something to be said about, yeah, not owning what you purchase. And a lot of these things that, especially like within our art, the stuff that we create, there's certain things that you kind of, well, people do want to own.
Yeah.
They want to have some ownership of. They don't want it to just be free content that anyone can learn because it's a bit, a bit more, bit higher value, higher value than that. But also but it couldn't, for example, I'll use the example I'm on about. It's not to segue into it, but just to go where I was, well, this effect that I as my Blackpool release or one of them is a lottery prediction, and it could in theory be a download,
Yeah.
but it's so much, it's to me at least, and the people that have seen it and are now performing it, it's so much more than that. Like, it's such a, and I feel like if it was a download, well, anyway, it's something you kind of want to physically own even though you can't.
Yeah. And you know,
And
go on, sorry.
there's a beauty to that, sorry. Yeah, go on.
There is something really interesting in this like schism between downloads and physical published things as well. And if someone has invested the time and obviously, you know, the money as well to purchase something that isn't just an ebook or a download, and they wait for it, they inherently give it reverence and they pay their material a little bit more respect. And that means if it is an effect like this, where you want the right people to be performing this, this is an effect that is for the right type of person. And you
Yeah,
want that person to give it some reverence and understand the value that it has. And people are more inclined to do that when it is a physical object as opposed to a download they can read whilst they're sitting on the toilet, like my releases.
100%. Well, look, a big, I mean, 99% of the reason I wrote this like lottery trick up as a in a book form is because this needs to be learnt. This needs to be learnt.
Yeah.
If you, I am the biggest culprit of watching a TV show and being distracted. I'm 99% of the time that's going on my phone or looking away or just chatting to Kaylee. She's the same. I think almost, I don't think there's many people in our day and age, our age, that completely immerse themselves in a piece of media or art. And with this lottery trick, you need to learn it. And if you half learn it, you will not be able to do it because
No.
it's a beautiful but bold method. But in book form, you have to concentrate on it.
Yeah,
You have to read it
you
step by
need both
step, or you're
hands to
not going to
read.
do it. Exactly. So yeah, anyway, that's just an off on off sprout. But there is, yeah, I think I def I mean, for years now, anything that I create, like, mostly will go on YouTube for free completely. If it's something which can't be physical or doesn't need to be physical. And then the stuff that I really love, like the electronic things or the DEXs, go out to the world. But there's other, there is this like, there is this area of these ideas that you, people want to own, but they're just ideas. It's almost like, right, you read a good book.
Yeah.
And even if you, I don't know about you, but it, I will buy extra copies of books, just like general books that I love. Or if I've read it, I'll keep it. Even though I could sell it or donate it, I want to own that story, and I know the story, and I probably won't read it. In fact, I know I won't read a lot of them again. But it's owning the story. It's owning the idea.
Yeah, it's people adore ownership the same way that they adore like recognition. It's something that you can't help but get fuzzy and warm for you, like when you feel it or see it. I've got four big massive bookshelves along my wall here. I've never thrown out a book intentionally. I get warm and fuzzy when I see stuff that I own, that like my collection, my knowledge.
Yeah, there's more gravitas given to print. I think it's so funny. It's like I was thinking about this the other day. You give it more weight. Like I found a load of printed photographs.
Yeah,
on my phone, I have how many do I have here? Right, I have 72,000 photographs, 72,043 photographs. I couldn't recall every single one, but I absolutely could tell you and remember all of the printed photos that I found the other day. Maybe because it's got recency bias, but do you know what I mean? There's something more to it.
When you solidify
it's
something,
just
you
magic,
make it
isn't it?
sacred.
Yes. Say that again.
I said, when you solidify something, you make it sacred.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I wonder if there's an element of that to be put into. Can we cross this over with the effect of can in bottle, coin in bottle, object in bottle?
Oh wow!
Making
This is
something.
Like, this is like the A plot and the B plot in an episode meeting up when there's the resolution at the end.
Well, no, I wonder if instead of approaching it as coin in bottle or can or coin in can, approach it from the direction of making something. We talk about impossible. Magicians talk about impossible objects a lot. Oftentimes, they're not impossible objects.
Yeah,
they're just objects that have significance. But yeah. could you create something which is like solidifying it to make it sacred? So instead of thinking about the visual, or anything else, think about what could they. What, and this kind of goes to the point we talked about last week as well, which is that the magic is stronger after it happens.
Yeah.
Right. So what could you do to that can where they go and tell everyone and even show it? Even if it is an object in there, ultimately, what is the. Like,
yeah.
Thinking that, like, left field, you put a coin on their hand. You give them a can, you hold your phone over the coin with the camera on it, they see the coin vanish from the palm of their hand, and then they rattle the bottle, and now it's inside it. So you do it like a coin in can, not the typical way, but it's stronger after the moment, after the very moment it happens. The build-up and everything up to it is not strong. It's what happens after.
Right. Oh, this is a tough one, you know. This is a very tough one. Weirdly, you know where my mind was going when you said it's more what is remembered that's like what is remembered that's important is if it was visual and you gave them a chance to look at this visual, but then you said to them, you know, this can only last so long, so like please take it in whilst you can. It's not going to be here forever, and then it's gone. And then they have nothing to examine, and they only have their memory of it, and they know what happened. So if you were to have a bottle of sand that you find on the beach,
yeah,
and say you've done some kind of a routine or you've told a story where a rose is significant, whether or not that is just through the use of storytelling or whether you digital force bagged a random object, I don't know. And then you pick up this bottle and then you shake it. And the sand forms into a rose, and you tell them, you know, this is temporary. Look at it whilst you can. Sometimes beauty only lasts so long. And then the rose turns back to sand. And you can give it to them to examine.
Dude, okay, I'm
that's
with
where
you on
my
this.
mind went.
You have a can. Now, have you seen, it doesn't necessarily have to be this, but have you seen that you can get cans of water?
Liquid death.
Cans of still water. So, you get a can, and this is the first thing that's coming to my head, but the rest, obviously, it might be better in a bit. You get a can of water and a coin, right? So I'm using the coin just for the sake of like the linear nature of it. But you haven't signed the coin, and you say, "I'm going to show you a piece of magic, and it's going to be incredible, but it's not going to last forever." So the only way this piece of astonishment will live on is through you telling the story of it. So you take the coin, you take the can, and you slam the coin into the can, the signed coin in, right? But you hear nothing. Silence. And then you tap the can, and it's like this. And you say, "Look, right now that coin is inside the can, but the water is frozen. So you can either choose to take this home and keep it forever, or we can open it." So you angle it. So now you start to open the can. You peel the metal, you unwind it, and inside is a frozen block of water. And inside that frozen block of water is that coin. And you say, "Look, you have to remember this moment because that ice is going to melt. And that coin will now be free from the water. And it will fit through the mouth of the bottle of the can, but the can's destroyed. This will never exist, but it was totally impossible now." And it's kind of like, I like the idea of it erasing itself then. It has to.
It's like we've made the noise and the echo only lasts so long, and this frozen silhouette of the can is the echo. It's only going to last as long until it melts.
Yes, exactly that. That's kind of a cool way to approach it, right?
That's really nice. It's really pretty.
I mean, it can be as bold as, I mean, there's so many great Kieran Johnson, or Kieran Lefevre is really the pioneer. Apart, like, it is Max Maleeny as well, but like the pioneer of like object in ice, or the person who's really made like the leap in bounds with it is Kieran Lefevre. He's been doing it for years, so he has some great ideas with it. But depending on what object you put in there, and depending on the state of that object, it could be signed or not signed. It could have a unique marking on it, which they believe is the only way of getting that object. Which makes them realize it, or believe it really is the only one of its kind, you know. So there's a myriad of different ways to get the object in, and it doesn't have to be a visual penetration of that object. It just could be that you've got the can on the table. This is an interesting way of doing it, right? You take the can, or you take the object. For example, let's just say we're going to use a signed coin. You can use a dupe signature if you need to. You sign the coin. Place it down on the table right in front of you. You take the can and you place it down. And then you begin to describe what's going to happen. "I'm going to show you something in a moment, and it's not going to last forever, but it's going to be absolutely impossible. The only way to make this last forever is if you tell people about it." They say a person dies twice, once when their physical body leaves this realm. The second time they die is when you utter their name for the last time. So if you want to keep this miracle alive, you need to keep telling people the story. And then you tell them, "In a moment, the coin is gonna, I'm gonna take the coin, I'm gonna melt it inside the can. And from there, the magic will begin to happen." And now you say, "Look at the coin." And they look down, another coin's gone. And you say, "It's already happened." So instead of having this visual moment, you just, as you're describing the story and letting like everything take place, it's almost like the magic has become unto itself, and the coin's now transported into the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, I really like that. Sorry, I'm getting comfortable on the couch. I'm just leaning back.
It's
Relaxing,
all good.
listening to you tell this beautiful story.
I don't know if it's beautiful or just like artsy fartsy bullshit.
No, I really like it. I kind of like the idea of setting up, not a prover or convincer or anything, but setting up so that there is no way that they would know that that is ever going to be, like something to do with the can being frozen. Because you could just have a couple of centimeters of water on the top of the ice that you pour out when you're showing them the can or something.
Oh.
Just
Oh,
as
yeah,
you,
you could totally do that.
yeah, just as you're explaining it. And you could just, you don't have to draw attention to it, but you're talking about the water for whatever reason, story-wise, or you're just, I don't know, taking a drink from it.
Yeah, you totally could. I mean, you can infuse like elements of fire and stuff with this, but I just think it's quite interesting this idea of A, that happening, and B, that in the moment it's impossible
Yeah.
if it's a unique object, but afterwards it's not impossible. I like that it dissolves over time, so to speak. But I also like the concept of that moment doesn't actually take place. There's not actually a catalyst. You know, it's just the coin was on the table, the can was on the table. You begin to tell them what's going to happen. And as they look down, it's already begun.
Yeah. It's very interesting presenting it that way, kind of just removing the traditional stages.
Yeah. Could
And
be anyway, or it could be now.
it could be everything's got there's the chance that everything and anything could be naff. You just have to play with it, don't you? Play with that
Yeah.
muscle.
Sorry, just letting my dog out for a shit after he's eaten his dinner. That's what I'm doing. That's what all the banging was. I can hear someone's dog out the back, just barking. But that's an interesting way to do it. I mean, then once you start to like wrap your head around that, that's when you can sort of think, well, what objects would make sense to be frozen in water?
Right.
It'd make more sense for like a piece of jewelry as opposed to a coin,
I
right? You could talk about,
suppose.
I'm thinking of that old lady off the Titanic throwing the heart of the ocean in the water, or
Yeah, I mean it's a kind of it's a bit of an out there kind of concept anyway, because what do you freeze? You don't really there's
all that's
not
going through my
really
head is a fly being frozen in it.
Oh God. Where was the first place that trick was taught? Because I remember doing that as a kid.
Oh, I have no idea, man. I wouldn't even like to hazard a guess. I learned it off that bloody Street Magic Reveal TV show. I mean, I've seen David Blaine do it on TV, but I learned it as like a 10-year-old or whatever it
Yeah,
was.
same, but I'm sure I read it somewhere. I just can't remember where I read
Step one, capture a fly. Step
it.
two, freeze the little fucker. Step three, pretend to be God.
Oh God.
I think that was the official instructions that came with it.
It was pretty much that
Whatever.
simple, yeah. Doesn't someone have an effect where they bring a bird back to life?
Oh, there's so many dark jokes running through my head right now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm getting you off topic here. I'm thinking about strange things. I
Don't
really
know why,
like
but like
this.
a Polaroid in ice seems like a little like 1 inch by 1 inch or 2 inch by 1 inch Polaroids you can get, like a frozen in time, because it sort of signifies exactly what a photograph is, and it signifies the effects. You say like, I'm gonna sit here. Maybe you sit down with a couple, and you take a photo of them, and you print it out there and then. And you say, so we're gonna freeze a moment in time right now, but it's not gonna last forever. And you place it down on the table, and then you introduce a fucking can of water. But there's a can of water in play, right? Just go with me on this. It's the fucking submarine. But then you describe it. Look, maybe you talk about how we should cherish memories and remember to take a moment to breathe and let the moment sink in. And this moment will only last forever the more you remind yourselves of it and talk about it. And as you say this, they look down, the Polaroid's gone, and you explain, I'm going to show you something incredible to remind you of this moment of when you two were sat here and feeling all these emotions and love, blah, blah, blah. Open up the can, and now they look down, sorry, the photograph's gone, and you say it's frozen in time. Really, it's frozen in time. Peel the bottle apart and show them that it's in the ice. And this, you say this won't last forever, but it will if you tell people about it. Or, because all you're going to be left with is a Polaroid, which isn't impossible, but it was
Yeah.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
Or some
it's
shit
an
like
it's a
that,
really
yeah.
nice kind of prompt as well for whatever kind of script you're going towards. You know, so people always talk about a moment frozen in time, but that's a hard thing to visualize. And then you literally freeze a moment in time to show them how it doesn't last. It can never last forever.
Okay, what about this for a method? And I hope I'm not jumping on anyone's. Maybe this probably has been. Well, I'm thinking of a trick which is to do with. I won't name the trick because it might spoil a method, but
Yeah.
do with Steve Rowe. But you could have ice in the top half of the cans. So you freeze it upside down with water in. So maybe a third of it's ice, but the rest of it is clear jelly, and there's a slit in the back of the can.
Okay.
So then when you could literally, like, potentially you take a photo, prints it out, and you could secretly print out a duplicate.
Yeah.
Right? So you just press print again. So you, but you say, look, there's only one of these Polaroids that exists. As you do that, you load it into the jelly, which is where the inside the can to the slit. Now when you crack it open, you know, you can, they can feel the ice on the top. When you start to peel it open, maybe you draw attention. Maybe the ice is more around it, but then it looks like it's there. And then because it's jelly, well, it does, jelly doesn't really melt, does it? It melts. Maybe you just dig it out, break it apart, dig it out, and let it all sit in a glass. And who knows?
You know, if you had a can and you would put a slit down the side and drain the liquid in it, and you put a bit of water in it on its side so that the slit was facing upwards, you could just put a little bit more in 2 hours later and put it a little bit more to its side, and then the other way, so that you had ice all the way around the outside, apart from where the slit is.
Oh, that's clever. That's clever. Because gravity would actually make the perfect flat lines.
Yeah.
Oh, jakey wakey. And you could actually do it from like three sides.
Yeah.
Or four. And they would just have a perfect, like, straight, like, gap. And you could even, like, make a piece of wood, like a doorstop, you know, to put in there to keep the gap.
That'd be interesting to play with. I might try some stuff with that.
Coin and frozen Coke can. Or Polaroid and frozen Coke can. Is it better in a bottle or a can?
I don't know. See, the thing with the can is when you have to dismantle it, that does require, unless you're ripping it apart from the slit, which people will be like, how's he done that? That would require some pliers or something to open it up.
Maybe. Well, you just pretend, you just get like a butter knife and just nick it, wouldn't you? And then start to pick it apart, maybe?
Maybe, maybe.
Oh my god, there's some episodes where I think, dude, we are creating some really good shit here, and there's some episodes like this where I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about?
You know, if you were to use a clear bottle and you could do the back of the Polaroid as white art if you were wearing a white top.
Oh.
I don't know. It just popped into my head.
Well, that's interesting.
Potentially.
You could use a mirror inside there.
Yeah.
Maybe halfway through and then inside it's not.
It's a very.
Or are we approaching this completely the wrong way?
Maybe.
Like, wouldn't it be cool just as a visual to put a coin on the table, put a can on flat on its side, and then just slowly roll the can forward. It goes whoop, 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 and it rolls over the coin, and the coin's gone. And you're like, and now it's inside there.
It
just
would
from like
be,
a visual side of that, you know.
It would be really, really cool if you have it so that you roll the can, it goes over the coin, and you hear the metal clink. And then each subsequent roll, you hear it clinking in there from then on afterwards.
Yes, I'm all about it.
Ooh.
Wouldn't it be cool if you know that whole, remember that whole roll, you put a blank piece of paper through two rollers and it prints into a bill?
Yeah. Oh, dude. I've still got a gimmick of that from when I was about six.
Dude, my grandfather made one out of toilet rolls when I was a little baby.
That's so good.
But imagine it, like the effect was you just take two Coke cans and you stand them side by side. And you say, like, I'm going to feed this paper through and I want you to hold on to it. I'm going to keep the Coke cans tight. So you put your hands on the Coke cans. Okay, now pull that paper from the front. They do, and it prints. You know, just as a fun thing. But you could just easily make that, I think. Or could you?
If,
I don't know.
That would totally have came out in 2002 where it prints money. and it's called the trick's called like Capitalism from Wayne Hutch or something. That's right. It's quite fun, actually. It's well, it'd be Capitalism Extreme.
Would you ever put? Would it ever make? It wouldn't make any sense thematically, story wise, to put like a dollar bill in the wall in a can, would it? I would think.
Not without like forcing it, I don't think.
No. Yeah, I don't think so either.
But that's the thing. Like a coin doesn't really thematically make itself make sense, but it's just something that people have come to accept that coins end up in different places.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, but I mean, I do know why it's coins. Like, I understand why, but why fucking coins?
It is weird when you think about it. We just accept that
Yeah.
as, oh yeah, that's the trick.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's like that magpie effect. I talk about this all the time, but the two objects just go quite nicely together.
Yeah.
They just look visually appealing, you know, and half. I remember years ago, I talked about this a lot. Is that for my Instagram? Like when I first started like growing my Instagram, or what the only time I tried to grow it, and it did. I just used to take like two or three interesting objects and be like, "What would look good in a thumbnail?" And I'd grab a few of them, and I'm like,
Yeah.
"Okay, these work." And then I would just make the trick from that. It's like there's two ways to write a book, isn't there? So either you have the story and then you get the title, or you get the title first and the story writes itself.
Yeah. There's the pantsers and the planners, and you've either got the entire structure or you're just doing it on the fly based on an idea.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff to think about. I'm sure I do like this idea of stuff in object frozen in water in can or not. It might be terrible. But we are getting up to the hour mark, and we don't try to make these too long because I know we probably annoy people not
Well,
waffling
we're
them.
saving ourselves for the next episode.
Yeah, so let's tell everyone about what's gonna happen next episode.
Oh, well, I don't fully know what's going to happen next episode. I did ask in the
Nobody
Facebook group.
does.
A few people gave some suggestions, which I liked, some ideas to talk about. And so I've got them written down in a little notepad to bring up at, you know, a certain point. But essentially, we're going to be doing, as best we can, a longer episode for your drive to Blackpool on
Yeah.
Wednesday or Thursday or whenever you head down.
Yeah, so it's going to be a Blackpool special, but the caveat being is that we don't really discuss the magic industry. We don't really discuss magic products, although we're about to, so buckle up. But we don't really discuss what's going on in this. Like, we don't even discuss what's happening in our own lives. We do tend to just jump straight into creating and jamming ideas.
My
So
wife
we're going to
left me and my dog died.
My dog's died, but she hasn't left me yet. But, but that's why I painted my
I wasn't
office
talking
black.
about you.
Oh, right. All right. Okay, good. yeah, we don't tend to talk about current affairs, but it is Blackpool. We're going to be there. Me, you, and da boys, the whole crew is going to be there. And
The
it's going to be exceptional. So we'll talk about creativity, Blackpool related stuff. Have any questions, let us know in the Facebook group. But we do have some exclusive, exciting Blackpool releases for you.
This is my first Blackpool release. Well, last Blackpool Sigdex kind of came out about the same time, and I did bring physical booklets of Sigdex to Blackpool, but not in the same way.
That's true. Yeah, you did. I remember they're such a great design on those. Well, tell everyone what you're bringing to Blackpool.
Oh,
What it is you're releasing?
little Will Old Me. It is a physical paperback called Unholy Road. And it is meant as a representation of a paper map of kind of the last 12 months in magic for me. Some of the stuff that I've put out is in there. Some of the stuff that I've just been thinking about is in there. Stuff that I've refined is in there. It's four releases that I'm really proud of from the past year, and four other little effects or principles or tidbits that I want to share. And it is
Yeah,
a
there's some
physical
incredible stuff.
paperback, 104 pages or so. Sorry.
It's some incredible stuff in that book, and it gives a great representation of who you are as a creator and how unique some of your ideas are. Talk for a second while I open the door.
I will quite happily talk for a second. I'll give the scoop. Some of the extra stuff in there is my thoughts on there's a bar bet. It's only a very short effect, but it's a bar bet that you can perform where you can divine what the bent card in a deck that's held behind a participant's back is. That's pretty fun. That's kind of a really weirdly
I'm
impossible.
back.
The boy's
I'm as
back
well.
in the room.
But yeah, I have to say it's a beautiful book. The design is beautiful itself. It's actually something which you would just keep around to look at. And it's a proper, like, I think it's called Perfect Bound book.
Yeah.
And A4 size. It's gorgeous. Well, so here's the thing.
A5, isn't it?
A5 or A4, I'll need to double check.
Uh-oh.
Or you want to double check? I think it was A4. I don't know.
Oh no. Oh no.
Let me double check for you right now, because yours is out for delivery over the next day or two, I think.
Oh no, we accidentally ordered jumbo-sized paperbacks.
We may have. That's even better.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh no, it's A5. It's A5.
Thank the good Lord. Down in hell.
That's even better because the postage envelopes, the black ones are perfect now. So I was gonna get two sizes, one for your stuff, one for mine. So this Unholy Road by Jake, which is a Blackpool release, limited quantity, and I got two releases as well. But here's the thing: I released. Well, we're doing a Blackpool bundle. So, well, let me tell you the two things I'm doing. The first is something called Crosswords, which is a torn out page from a magazine, and it's a book test. And the premise is that the New York Times has been running since the 1940s, and there are 100 of the most popular recurring answers. And it's a little like, it's kind of like a nerdy magazine, for want of a better word. And this magazine is like, here are the top 100 most commonly recurring answers from the New York Times. If you're ever in a jam, one of these answers could be the likely one to fit your crossword, or they'll inspire you either way, and it tells you some factoids about them. And it's a book test, so you think of one of the 100 words, and the magician essentially knows exactly what you're thinking. But there's a, I'm pretty sure it's like a new principle. I could be shot for getting this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a new principle, and it's almost designed to fool mentalists, especially because it uses your own knowledge against you.
Yeah.
So the method, once you learn what it is, you'll be like, oh fuck. I think most people I show it to is like, oh fuck, that's clever. Not to blow my own trumpet. So yeah, there's that, which is called Crosswords, and you get two gimmick pages and a regular page. So you can either start clean or end clean. You can just, after they think of the word, you say, oh, fold it, put it away so I can't see the words, and then you can just pull out the regular one later. But there's, anyway. That's cool. And then I have another thing which I'm really, really, really proud of. It's called Six. And it's a lottery prediction with a printed lottery ticket. And the reason why we're releasing them, why I'm releasing these for Blackpool, is that I don't want these getting into the wrong hands.
Yeah.
There's no way I could release these to thousands of magicians because they are. Especially Six, it gets fucking wild reactions, but it's bold. The way I describe it is the cross-cut force of lottery predictions. There's no printers. It's a fucking worker, 100%. And there's no convoluted, hey, here's a deck of 60 playing cards. Choose six cards and watch me do some weird moves. They pick six numbers and they match exactly to the ticket. It's super bold. It does fool magicians. Some magicians are like, what the fuck? Did you actually just do what I think you did? It's that kind of boldness, but it's a worker and it's designed to blow people the fuck away. And it's one of those tricks that if it got into the hands of people who haven't performed before, it would be, I don't think they'd like it. So it's strictly limited. It's not a mass release, hence why it's not going out through Murphy's. But if you're a listener of the Black Art Podcast, then the chances are you are proficient at magic. If you've managed to go down the rabbit hole deep enough to find this podcast, then you're probably the right type of person to be able to perform something as good as this.
It's
So it's
the
a very,
perfect
very
entry
limited release.
barrier. Having a podcast like this focused on weirder magic creativity, it's the perfect entry barrier.
Yeah, right. Well, this thing, right? It's like the Crosscut Force. If the Crosscut Force was released as a digital download today, it would be panned as the worst force in all of card magic.
Yeah.
But anyone that's out there and performs knows you pretty much can't get any better than a force. It's scientifically proven in the fucking Psychology of Magic book. And the lottery prediction is very much like that. What they experience is that they freely choose six numbers for the lottery and they print their own ticket for the methods ball. Anyway, I'm very proud of it, very secretive of it, and very protective of it. But anyway, with that being said, we're doing a Blackpool bundle. You can buy them on their own or together. But the Blackpool bundle, all of them together, should cost £110. But we're doing it for £90 as a special. So that's Jake's 104-page book.
Yeah.
Crosswords and the lottery prediction, which is actually a book, a 34-page book, all color printed as well. And yeah, we're releasing them only to our listeners really before Blackpool. I don't think there'll actually be any left in stock by Blackpool, by the way things are going.
Yeah, I'm not holding out hope that I'll get a copy for myself, to be honest.
I don't think we will, not by the way they're going at the minute. So you can get them now. There's a secret link and a password. I put it up for my Patreon about a week ago, and now and that's given them enough time to get it because I want to make sure like our listener, our private people get them first, and you did as well, right, Jake?
Yeah, it went on my Patreon. It also went in the Black Art discussion group, so I know a few people will have seen it already, but not everyone's a member on there, so.
Yeah, so if you want to get it, I've made the URL. It's not, you can't even click a URL anyway, but so I've had to make a tiny URL, which is tinyurl.com/BP for Blackpool. So BP secret, all one word. tinyurl.com/BP secret. And that will take you to a password protected page. And the password is Blackpool spelled backwards. And the easiest way to do that is to spell Blackpool key by key and press the back arrow after every letter. So B back arrow, L back arrow, A back arrow, so on and so forth until you spelt Blackpool. And that will be the password to let you on the secret page. And then you can, I know it's a lot of hoops to jump through, but we're not like fucking around. Like I generally don't want, especially six, getting into the hands of people who aren't proficient at magic. And
Yeah.
we do generally only have limited copies, mainly for our fan base. And then by the time we get to Blackpool, if somehow they're not sold out, there'll be a few copies floating around. But that password is LOOPKCALB. Blackpool's spelled backwards. And the website again is tinyurl.com/BP secret. And yeah, so I don't know, this is being recorded Monday, by the time it goes out Wednesday, I don't know if we'll have any, but yeah, go for gold. There's
I
not,
hope so.
I will say one thing as well. There's no trailer or anything for any of our things, but specifically the lottery and crosswords. There will be one eventually, but you are essentially going in blind. Just know that six is very bold. So I will say that.
Yeah, I think anyone who listens to this podcast is well aware of the type of stuff that we love. And knows that we wouldn't, neither of us would put anything out that was impossible to perform. It's just, you have to read the instructions, dude.
But yeah, anyway, that's what we got going on for Blackpool. I'm thinking that there won't be any left for Blackpool, but we could potentially do a rush reprint of some of these things if we need to. But I don't know. Anyway, that's enough shilling for now. It's been really nice just as a process to write something up in physical form
Yeah.
and have it have like an ownership of it. So many like ideas, especially like that I put up on YouTube and into the Patreon, they're sort of just in the ether. And it's, yeah, it's I don't know, it's nice to have like a physical idea.
As much as we were talking about people giving reverence to a physical object because it's solid and, you know, it's nice to own that book, for the person who created it, it is like a really lovely feeling as well. The very first book that I published was called Empiricism, and it was a book of short stories. And when I got the first copy, I couldn't stop just holding it and looking at it. It's such a proud feeling, and like it feels so good.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And I don't want too much about it, but anyway, it's all there if you guys want it. Thank you. I think we should probably wrap up the podcast now because it's been probably over an hour.
Yeah.
We try and keep these short and sweet.
It's peace out. We'll save ourselves for the next marathon tantric podcast.
There will be less shilling in the next one. It's Blackpool special, baby.
We'll have our shorts and shades on.
Oh, gosh. Wait, is oh yeah, next Wednesday is the
14th, Valentine's
14th. Day. Oh, next Wednesday will be Blackpool. So we're gonna have to record it. Are you going up on the Monday?
I'm going on Monday, dude. Yeah, I'm going to stay in a trap house. So I don't know when's best to record, like maybe Sunday midday or so. But then you might have family time.
Yeah. Possibly like I want to say like tomorrow or Wednesday, but I don't know if
see, I've got like a super jammed week. Let me have a think. One of them might be possible.
Okay.
It'll have to, well, I will have to find a way. It'll have to be possible.
For all your beautiful faces out there.
Yeah. And if anyone's at Blackpool early, message me, come find me. I'm going to be hanging around on the beach with the hobos.
Literally.
Dirty Mike and the boys.
All right, okay. Thank you all so much for listening. It's been another episode of the Black Art Podcast. Let us know in your thoughts. Let us know what your thoughts are about today's episode. Hopefully you managed to snag up some of our Blackpool releases. It's really helpful and kind if you do. Head to theblackartco.com to find our social media links and other avenues to listen to us, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all that in between. Until next week, folks, stay creative.
Hell yeah. Peace.
I realized I didn't set up the music, so now we have to do that awkward goodbye when like we walk the same direction.
Do do do. Left or right?
Right. Yeah, I'll walk the opposite. Oh, stage left, stage left.
Okay. Okay.